right, here we go. It's time for another episode of the Ticket Studs podcast. Today we are drafting the year 2008 in film. The draft order, we have Littell in the one spot. He deeply regrets that.
That's me.
Salemi in the two spot. Me in the third spot. Arvin, very nice, with the fourth spot. Back-to-back picks coming up at the end of the round.
Ooh, fourth spot.
Ooh, 2008, let's go.
Okay, let's just... let's just get it out of the way, fellas. I mean, I got to go with first pick overall, The Dark Knight.
Obviously.
But now here's the thing. I'm going to take it for my...
misunderstood.
My Oscar
comedy.
Nod. My Oscar nod.
Okay.
The Dark Knight. What a... Man, I feel like literally everyone I know went and saw this movie in theaters. Not just has seen it in their lifetime, but saw it in theaters. It was just that big of an event.
And like right away.
Yeah.
They didn't wait. Everybody went opening night or opening weekend.
And everyone was talking about it.
Yeah.
The whole year after it came out, that was all anyone could talk about was The Dark Knight. And the first movie I like a lot. I like Batman Begins. And sometimes I like it more than The Dark Knight just because it's a really easy movie to get into. Because The Dark Knight is very, very, very heavy. Like, it is a dark crime noir, beautifully acted, but, like, it can be hard to watch, like, just on, like, you're chilling around and it comes on. But I think it's probably, man, is it my favorite Nolan movie? It's definitely top three.
When you heard that Heath Ledger was going to play the Joker, did you think?
Oh, man. That's a bad
I don't
idea.
Think anyone thought that. Up until that teaser trailer with him came out, that he
right.
could ever play the Joker.
Mm-mm.
But, man. Other than Mark Hamill's animated Joker, I don't think anything has come close.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like Joaquin Phoenix's rendition, but he just has an intensity and gravitas with the Joker that, I mean, he is truly that character.
Yeah.
More than Christian Bale is Batman, more than Morgan Freeman is whoever he is in that movie.
Lucius Fox.
Lucius Fox,
respect.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, he just owned it. I mean, he steals every scene he's in.
Now, you guys are a little older than us, so you can answer this. Michael Keaton, it was a big controversy when he was cast as Batman
mm-hmm.
because he'd only done, you know, screwball comedies. Was there anybody else besides him where when they got casted in something, everybody was like, whoa, 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 what? Because Heath Ledger is the only other one I can kind of think of where everybody was like, wait, what? Heath Ledger is the Joker?
People had reservations about Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man.
Is that right?
Yeah, but not nearly to the level of Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, literally no one believed that he could play the Joker at all.
The same thing happened with Jared Leto, and then it turned out everyone was right.
Yeah. So, well, because he had just come off the night.
So
tail,
that's,
right?
that's a tightrope, man. I mean, like,
clip that.
legitimately, though. Like, I mean, it's that's a hard role to get exactly right. And I feel like, yeah, like, Mark Hamill nails it as the animated Joker voice, and Heath Ledger.
Yeah,
they're both
that's
great.
One too.
They're both absolutely great.
And also, it's just so gritty. Like, it's the grittiest Batman has ever been. And I mean, that's obviously everything post 9/11 was a lot darker and a lot grittier. But I mean, just captured the essence of real gritty crime noir better than any movie that year. And really for a long time after too. So yeah, easy first pick overall, I think.
What All did right. you pick it for?
Oscar.
My Oscar.
Okay.
Salemi, you're on the clock.
All right. Well, let's see here. What shall I do? You know what? Because I feel comfortable with the other ones that I'll end up with something I like, and I'm worried that this won't roll back around to me. I am going to go with drama, thriller, and pick Rock and Rolla.
Man.
Interesting.
Oh, that's an early pick of that, but
yeah.
Man, nice.
I just don't think it'll
it
come back
been on
to
my
me.
It would not
sure.
have.
Yeah, and I feel confident that some of the other blockbuster Oscars that are there, I'll still be happy with the pick, even though it may not be.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this was the second best movie of this year, but I love this Guy Ritchie movie. It is fantastic.
You're a big Guy Ritchie fan.
I am.
As
I
it
am.
Turns
I
out.
Didn't really like the, I didn't really care for The Gentlemen, and I think it's just maybe because, one, it's not nearly as engrossing the story, and... Like, it's sort of getting played out. Like, you're expecting certain things, so it's not nearly as creative as it used to be.
Mm.
But, yeah, Tom Hardy is in Rock and Rolla.
And I love him in that movie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It is hilarious. The fact he thinks he's going off to prison. And he wants to slow dance with him. Idris Elba, the whole thing about talking about Tom Hardy being a puff and that if he could be half a human being, half as good of a human being as him, he'd think about it. He wouldn't do it, but it'd give him pause. It's like he says, he would give me pause. So yeah, I enjoy that movie quite a bit.
I let you have Guy Ritchie in the director's draft. I let you have Lock, Stock in the 99 draft. You couldn't let me have Rock and Rolla?
No, because he can't I'm going to be honest with you.
It would have been really funny what happened if he had just been like, that's not my first pick. You know?
Yeah. If I had the first pick, I was going with The Dark Knight.
I think we all were.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, there's not, and in 2008, like my kids were 6, 5, and 2. So I don't think I saw nearly as many movies because when I was going through that list, I struggled. Like I found 20 or so movies, but after that, it was hard. So yeah, I had to go with what I liked. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. I'm up.
Boo.
I definitely would have gone Dark Knight number one overall. I would have taken Rock and Rolla with
but
my
you can't.
Second. But you
but
can't.
You can't.
But you can't.
So you would have taken Rock and Rolla when it rolled
Calm
back
down,
around.
Bud. You don't have another pick till now.
I know, and I'm mad.
So.
Very happy now.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to do something similar to what you did.
Okay.
Because it's going to have to come back around, and I know a few of these are going to get taken, but that's okay. I'm going to go with Blockbuster, and I am going to take Tropic Thunder.
Oh, God. Damn you.
Oh, my God. I was so worried.
Dang it.
I really – so it was between that and Iron Man. Iron Man – actually, now that I think about it, I should have taken Iron Man. But Tropic Thunder is so funny.
If you want to redo, you can, but you're never going to get it back again because I would take it with one of my picks.
No, I know. That's like I had to be okay with letting that go, which is fine because I have to be strategic because, when it comes to the Oscars.
Or, and hear me out, you could do it like Salimi does.
And just wing it.
And just
wing it. Just put it all out
I'm going to start with Misunderstood.
But think about his strategy, though. He was really...
Think
he
about
came
the strategy.
Today.
I know. He came to play today.
Today.
He came to play today.
When Guy Ritchie's involved.
I step up my game.
But Tropic Thunder, Robert Downey Jr., the other big, huge movie in 08 that he was in. Jack Black, so funny. Tom Cruise, who knew he could do something like that?
Favorite cameo out of any movie.
And like, oh my God. All the Les Grossman stuff is amazing.
What do you mean, you people? What do you mean, you people? Like, it's just so good, man. Matthew McConaughey is great in the little role that he has. Bill Hader is the little assistant.
I like it, all the Simple Jack stuff. And the fact that they all love Simple Jack.
Does not hold up very well.
It's real cringe.
There's a lot of cringy parts now, but it's still like you connect to the first time you saw it, and then you're like, well, it's still funny. It's still funny.
All right, Arvin, you got two in a row.
Huzzah. Wally. Ooh, sorry, did I do that way too fast? I did that way too fast. You. I wanted that movie so bad, and I was so concerned that you guys were going to take it when I got the fourth pick, and I was like, oh, please let Wally be there. I'm going to take it as my, I'm going to say Oscar pick. I'm going to say Oscar pick, and I love this movie so very much. It's so good. It's my favorite Pixar movie.
It's my second favorite.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and there's easily like, 4 or 5 movies I think you could put there, and I wouldn't argue with you about it, but this is my favorite. Like, it's so good. It's sci-fi. The main character doesn't talk, like, and all the ways that he communicates instead.
And it's captivating.
It's amazing. Like that it first hour? Like, just hooks you in, and you just are like, you're along for the ride the entire time, and then... Like
even
things
the
get
cockroach
emotional.
Is irritating.
Yes,
and it's all of it.
Yes. Oh my God, Eve is fantastic. Like all of the non-human characters are great, and then it's also kind of like Idiocracy. This idea of like, oh, we could be headed towards that. Like, I mean, if, assuming we can like get our stuff together long enough to figure out like space travel for groups, but here we are. Like, I love it so much.
One of the rare instances where a movie up for best animated feature at the Oscars, but very easily could have been up for best picture.
Oh, 100%. Easily. 100%. And I'm going to be honest now because I wasn't honest earlier. When I said if I had had the first pick, I would have picked Wally. I would have picked Dark Knight. I love the Dark Knight. I literally had them ranked and I was like, Wally's one for me. And Dark Knight, I knew it was going to get taken by somebody. Like it was a foregone conclusion, but Wally is the one I would have taken that
year. I went to Wally, I'm not lying, with the idea that I was going to take a nap while my kids watched the movie because I had such low expectations for it. I thought, this is going to be so boring. I'm just hoping they'll sit through the movie so I can take a nap.
Yeah.
And then it started. I was like, what the hell? Yeah, it was great. Great movie.
I love it so much.
There's something to be said where, like, you have an hour where there's no dialogue and you can't look away. Like,
right.
It's that good.
Yeah.
So.
And it's funny.
It's super funny.
Like, you could have taken it for comedy easily and it would have been all right.
It's got some heart near the end, though.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think Wally's going to go? It's like, ooh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Pick number two.
Yeah. So for pick number two, I'm going to take a page out of Salini's playbook I'm going to do Misunderstood.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. And my Misunderstood movie is Step Brothers.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it had that low of a rating.
Barely. It qualifies for our new metric. It's a 55% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, for the listeners at home, we agreed to 55%.
After episode three, we decided that that was going to be a thing. So 55% and 69% audience score. I love that movie, too. Like, it's just so funny. Those two guys just... Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly, like anything they do, like I will watch, including their really, really terrible Sherlock Holmes movie.
Oh, God, that movie's so
bad.
Which
is the exact opposite of this movie. But I still watched it because I was like, oh, come on, keep hope alive. And it's not great. But this is the exact opposite. The Catalina wine mixer.
Catalina wine mixer.
Well, you can't say that word. Now Cash has to do work.
But that'll be funny.
Come on. Well, now that you've said it. Yeah, I mean that. I just love it. And also Boats and...
Boats and Hoes.
See, I'm just going to rely on him to ruin the takes for me. And then, 100%. And he's still going.
Is there a scene where hammer and nail beds together?
Yes.
More room for activity.
Do we just become best friends?
Just screaming when he gets collapsed on. Oh, that's a good scene.
I think
so fun.
I think an underrated scene in that movie, because it is so quotable, but I think the hardest I laughed was when they were trying to sabotage all the house showings. And then they painted Will Ferrell blue, and he's like, I'm dead. He's like, okay, we're going to get out of here. As he's, you, Derek. We're going to clip most of this.
It's don't worry. We've got some editing to do. It's fine. Totally fine.
For those of you at home listening, if it seems like there's been some cutting ahead,
choppy
because
here.
Because some people have been cursing.
Arvin.
Yeah, it was me.
You dog.
My parents did think my if I ever had children that their first word would have been the F word, so.
French?
Yeah. En français.
He likes his croissants.
I'm kind of surprised. So, I would have thought that you would take his Step Brothers for a comedy, but you obviously have something else lined up.
I had a lot of things on comedy. I think I maybe put, 10 serious ones on there, and then I also just threw Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay on there, because I love that title, and it feels like a very 2008 movie to talk about. So, and that hopefully is the only time we'll do it.
All right. I'm up. I am going to take what I thought you were definitely going to take, and I'm glad you didn't. My Oscar pick is going to be Iron Man.
Woot.
Great choice.
It's excellent.
Easily could have been my number one pick,
mm-hmm.
but I really wanted to get that blockbuster out of the way because, again, kind of a thin blockbuster year. And, RDJ's comeback kicked off the whole Marvel MCU. It's just a really great standalone movie, you know, separate from does it feed into a sequel, does it create a franchise or whatever. It's just great villain, really cool effects. I love the AC/DC on the soundtrack.
I say the AC/DC soundtrack is intense. It's so good.
And it's really funny that they went that way because Iron Man is a really, really good Black Sabbath song. And they're okay, Iron Man, what are we going to go with? AC/DC, which it worked. It's really, really good. Iron Man is my second pick.
They do play Iron Man when he lands in the desert, doesn't he? When he finally gets the suit up and running and he goes and...
They play it at the end of one of the movies.
Okay.
I think it's at the end of Iron Man 2.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I think it's Iron Man 2.
So what is the song that they're playing?
They play Shoot to Thrill and...
To Aqualung?
Dear Lord.
Thick as a Brick, I think is what
was it Thunderstruck was the other one?
No. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, now that you say that, I think you guys all like Iron Man more than I did.
Oh, dude, that first movie's awesome.
It's so good.
Are you serious? I like it. I think it's entertaining. I just, none of it, like, really sets really high for me.
I don't know but that I need to watch it again.
Yeah, oh, I like the, I like
this. I loved it at the time. But I feel like, you know, I've seen it, like, we've moved on from there.
Well, looking,
and there's just so much superhero stuff now anyway. Like, it's a moment of its time where it was revolutionary, ushered in an entire universe, and that's amazing. But because of all the different various heights of, like, all the Avengers movies and whatnot, I feel like it's harder to go back and rewatch it unless you're, like, doing a Marvel deep dive of some kind.
But Robert Downey is extremely funny in
that
movie.
He's great. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
All right, so let me.
All right. I'm going off track again. All right, so tell me, can I take In Bruges as my comedy?
No, actually you can't. So, that's a law.
That's not allowed.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys think it's I think it's funny. It's not like it's not Wedding Crashers.
I'm kidding. You can take it as whatever you want. It's funny. The only reason I don't want you to take it is because I want to take it.
Yeah. I'm taking it as comedy or wild card, one or the other. So
just take it as comedy.
I'm taking it as comedy.
God, that movie is super funny.
It's great.
It is
so funny.
And it should not be humor. Because the hitman kills, like, when they reveal what he's upset about, you're like, oh my God, that's horrible. But it's such a fun movie, and it's so unlikely. And they made me want to go to Belgium, and I never wanted to go to Belgium before that.
100%. Yeah, it actually encourages you to go travel and see it. And I'm going to do a Littell real quick here. It's 21:30. In Bruges.
In Bruges.
Yeah. He's so Colin. He's so
what do you
pissed.
Mean in fucking Bruges?
So
I must have heard that and just walked around my house for like 20 minutes after the movie was over and been like, what do you mean?
And dude, I know it's not supposed to be super funny, but his body splatting against the ground. He's like, that way. Don't go in there.
That's the one part about the movie where I was like, because he still talks to him.
Yeah.
Colin, right?
splatted
like,
on the ground.
Why did we do that? Otherwise,
he had to warn him. He's trying to save his life.
Yes, I get that. I thought the warning was simply going to be he fell and then draws Colin there and he like pieces it together like something. Not the splattered man is going to speak now.
Also, I love that he kills the midget and then immediately kills himself because he thinks he killed a child. Sorry, the short person. Bleep that. That's not.
What
it's
is the actor's
language.
Name?
That's not who I am.
What is the other actor's name?
Brandon Gleeson.
Yeah, he's so too. Good.
I was just going to say.
Mad-Eye Moody, right?
Yeah. Mad-Eye Moody. What an unlikely pairing. Like, who knew that was. And then, what's the Irish?
Sheep one.
The one that came out.
The Inisherin.
Banshees of Inisherin.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Banshees of Inisherin.
And they're great in that one, too.
They are.
Such great chemistry. Really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good pick.
And who would have ever, like you said, whoever would have thought that? Is he related to the other Gleeson?
That's Domhnall is his son.
Okay.
He has
thin redheaded
acting,
kid,
right?
I think so, but I only know Domhnall.
Because they have Domhnall, and then they're both involved in Star Wars movies, too.
All right, Littell.
It's my pick. Here, does someone want to take
two of them
the camera?
In a row.
Sure, I'll take it.
Okay, cool. Oh, I get two? Oh, God. I'm looking at Eagle Eye because I know it was filmed in Indianapolis for a part of it, if you guys didn't know that.
What was?
Eagle Eye with Shia LaBeouf and company. No, I'm going to take my blockbuster here, get it out of the way. It's Mamma Mia, guys. I'm taking Mamma Mia.
Oh, yes, I'm so glad he did it. Man.
I love that movie. I think I've seen this movie, no kidding, probably 30 or 40 times because my sister loves that movie, and we watched it probably every single day when it came out on DVD. Grandma took me to see it in theaters. Pierce Brosnan ate it up, man. What am I going to say? Meryl Streep, she still got it. It's fun.
You know you're using real time for this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And you're serious.
Yeah, like the movie.
Great.
It's a good blockbuster movie. I think the soundtrack is killer. The actors all did a great job singing. It made me want to go to Greece badly just because it looks gorgeous the whole time during that movie. And I don't care what any of you guys say. I had a lot of fun with that movie, and
it
was great.
Did you not want to go to Greece before the movie?
No, but like I'd never seen Greece in a film, I guess.
Okay. Wanted to go to Santorini.
Well, because I was 14. So I hadn't seen a whole lot of like pictures, videos, whatever.
Are you Greece. 6, 7? How old were you at that point?
I just said.
You've got to forgive him for not listening.
And I don't think you were that. Oh, you were 14 when you saw it, not when it came out.
Yeah. Well, no, maybe all of us don't know how time works.
I joke about having not seen a movie, but I legit haven't seen Mamma Mia.
Really?
Really?
I really haven't.
Yeah. It's fun. It's a good, fun time. Yeah.
I've listened to ABBA, but I haven't seen the movie either.
It's. Yeah. Really well done.
Yeah.
I bet it is.
I think I just shied away from the movie because I think, like, I like ABBA and I like the songs, but I'm not a huge fan. I thought.
But it tells a really cohesive story.
Yeah, like, I think solid. That's the problem is I didn't realize it told a story. I just thought it was based on the album. Like, when you watch Pink Floyd, The Wall, it's based on the album.
Right.
So I just assumed the songs were the movie plot, so to speak.
Was it the musical first? Again. So, like, was it a musical first and then they made a movie?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. It was definitely a musical first.
It's a good one. All right,
well, I will watch it now that you say so.
You know, you guys say this. I've recommended several of my picks, and none of you have watched Looney Tunes. Okay. I can guarantee it.
I don't think anyone really thought I was serious when I said that.
It's a good movie.
And if it's ever on TV,
why
I'm just flipping through the channels, I promise you I will stop and
you know,
watch.
Maybe we should just record it, our reaction to watching that movie. Do a live commentary.
That's riveting television. All
right. Littell, you've taken your Oscar and your blockbuster. What's next?
So, little background. I had a whole list made, and I accidentally left it at home before I got here.
People make fun of me for not being prepared.
That's why you don't karaoke the day before the podcast.
Just, you know, give me a second. I'm going to take...
Punisher Warzone?
For my action... drama thriller. I'm going to take Cadillac Records, actually.
Ooh. Okay.
I like that movie. Great soundtrack. Everyone does a fantastic job singing and acting. Beyonce is incredible.
She sounds like Etta James.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
It's crazy how she can nail down the vocal inflection.
Yeah.
It literally sounds like her. I don't have a whole lot more to say about the movie.
Adrian Brody, man.
Adrian Brody is always surprising because I heard he's not that great of a person, but I like him in every movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Maybe I'm misheard, but I've heard that he's not a great person.
Well, I'll assume you're telling the truth, not just spreading Adrian Brody falsehoods.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in a lot of funny movies. The Pianist. What else?
That's come up in every pod now.
Predators.
Predators,
yeah.
He was also in... What was that Wes Anderson movie, Grand Budapest? Wasn't he also in that movie?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He's in a movie where he and his brother are trying to scam someone. It's a comedy of sorts.
This isn't just a memory from your childhood?
No. Okay. I just vaguely recall this movie. Like, I've never even sat through it.
Did you guys watch Winning Time, the Lakers HBO show?
Dude, it's good.
Him as...
He is great.
Pat Riley.
Yeah. Pat Riley is so good, man. I love him in that role.
Yeah. Bogey's great.
I love that whole show. I mean, that's a whole other pod, but he was great in that role.
Will Ferrell plays Jerry Buss, right?
No.
John C. Riley.
Yeah, John C. Riley.
John C. Riley. Yeah. My bad.
Will Ferrell adjacent.
Will Ferrell was supposed to, and then Adam McKay and he had a falling out.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
They dissolved their production company.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
All right. So let me.
All right.
You've taken your action thriller drama. You've taken your comedy.
I am going Oscar. I'm so excited because... these are my three favorite movies from this year, I think. And with Oscar, I'm going with Doubt, with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
That's the nun priest movie?
I mean, there's all the evidence in the world to say he did something bad, and at the same time, just like the title's called, maybe he didn't. Like, maybe all this is being misunderstood. Maybe this all is just our own personal... not biases, just we expect the worst out of people. So even when you're trying to be a nice guy and do the right thing, it can come across as, no, he's being devious, nefarious, he's underhanded, etc. So, yeah, I really enjoy that movie.
And
well, you and I went to the theater and saw that, didn't we? Doubt? I feel like we went together.
Did we? Wow.
I feel like we did.
Maybe, yeah, let's just say we did.
All right.
Because I really enjoyed the movie, too. It's good.
Well, also, in my memory, we went together. If not, it just makes me feel better that I didn't go by myself.
Well, this is right in that area where you and I saw a lot of, like, we saw Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu Panda, yeah.
There's a few of those that, yeah.
Also, who better to toe that line than Philip Seymour Hoffman? I think he's one of the few that can deliver any line any way you want.
What's great, too, is he fought for Amy Adams to win that role.
Really?
The studio or the director, whoever, said absolutely not. He's like, okay, well, then I'm not doing it. And they're like, whoa, 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 well, okay, well, we reconsider this. And he's like, Amy Adams needs to be this character, and crushes it. It's such a good movie.
And it isn't something that you would think Amy Adams would do. As far, like, she wasn't known for being an actress.
It would be fun to see 80 Adams play that role.
Yeah.
80 of them would be pretty cool.
Why did he fight? Was there something? Did he just see her, like, do a screen test? And he's like, oh, yeah, she's it? Or was he friends with her?
They were in the Scouts together.
The Girl Scouts?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, for real. Look it up.
They had acted in theater together. I want to say they did a play together, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I feel like a lot of actors meet that way. Like local theater around LA or whatever.
But there's a pretty big age difference between the two of them, I thought. I would just assume that he was at least 15, 20 years older than her.
Sure. But you know how there's people of all ages that are
in a play? Yes. I just figured that when she was doing theater, he had moved on to Hollywood at that point, I'm saying.
No, you're right. Oh, he's one of those that he'll do the Hollywood thing to pay for the year that he takes off to do all the plays that he wants to do. Tom Hiddleston did that quite a bit. He went back to London. He took his Loki money. He's like, all right, I'm going to be done for 3 years. I'm going to go to West End and do more stuff. So that's how they bankroll that.
I really miss Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I do, too.
He was so good. Yeah.
He also comes up every pod, too.
Yeah, him and Heath Ledger.
All right. Both. I am up. I've taken my Oscar. I've taken my Blockbuster. And,
Oh, dude, I messed up. Oh, God.
I think I'm going to go with my
right there with you.
Comedy here. Yeah, I'm going to go comedy. I'm going to take Pineapple Express.
Okay.
Nice.
And I love how you guys have kind of an eclectic pick, like Doubt, Rock and Roll in Bruges, Dark Knight and Mamma Mia. And mine's Iron Man, Tropic Thunder, and Pineapple Express. I have the most bro team lineup. You're having a good lineup. Time. But that's how this year was, man. I was 20 years old during this year, and when I look through the lineup of movies, you're taking some of the ones that I would have taken, but that's what was really good this year. So
yeah. I feel like this movie came out of nowhere too and got super big.
It was so funny. I think also it was still early on that it was word of mouth.
Yeah.
Because everybody talked about it. It was quotable. I thought hurricane season was over. Like, everybody was saying that. And then it's got the comedy is great. Danny McBride, that's his big introduction role before Kenny Powers. Mm-hmm. The action scenes, it's great. It's fantastic.
So, did I do that wrong? Sorry. Yeah. I think, you know, I've talked about Pineapple Express before because I feel the same way that I feel about Superbad. That I know a lot of people like it.
You don't like Superbad?
No. And I don't really care for Pineapple Express.
Dude, Superbad is nonstop funny quotes. That's crazy.
We will deal with that at a later date.
We will.
But yeah.
It will be addressed.
07 draft.
Will we?
Yeah, Pineapple Express.
We will.
I don't think it's a bad movie or anything. I just, when I watched it, when it was over, I thought, I just didn't get it as much as everyone else did.
And I really don't care for Seth Rogen that much.
Yeah, I know you don't.
Oh, really?
But in that role, he's good. And everything around him. I mean, Danny McBride is Red, and James Franco as Saul is as good as it gets. And then you've got Gary Cole.
Gary Cole is really funny in that movie.
There's just so much about it that I love. All right, Arvin, two picks in a row. You've used up your Oscar and your Misunderstood. What do we got?
All right, so I think... Man, that is a little tough, but the odds are that my Blockbuster can probably just wait, I think.
Probably
at this point.
I plan on taking yours.
You're going to take mine?
I plan on it.
Oh, he told me beforehand.
You know what? I don't think you will.
All right.
So I'm gonna
let's play
that
this
ride.
Game.
I 100%. 100%. So... I'm going to go comedy. I think I'm going to go comedy, and I'm going to do Role Models.
Nice.
My comedy.
Nice.
Very
nice.
Much in that same vein of, you know, dude comedy. But yeah, Paul Rudd is fantastic in it. Sean William Scott is amazing. The LARPing scene is just, oh, I love that.
Every bit of that scene. Oh,
it's
so non-stop
great. It's
funny.
so great. And I 100% love it. And legitimately, there were 10 movies on my list. So I might as well go ahead and get one that I like here. So I'm going to go with Role Models.
The only thing I didn't like about Role Models is that guy's McLovin. I didn't want to see him.
Sure.
Like, he's in a role immediately the next summer or whenever this came out after Superbad. I'm like,
yeah,
nah, dude. You're McLovin. I'm sorry. Like, that's you. So it was
that Christopher Mintz Plasse?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Christopher Mintz.
I'm just happy to see Stifler get roles in that era.
And he's really good in this.
Yeah, yeah. He is great in this.
Yeah.
All right. What's up next? You got Blockbuster, Action Thriller Drama, and Wild Card.
All right. So the Action Thriller Drama, I'm going to go with the one that is in my heart there. And I'm going to go with Mongol. The Rise of Genghis Khan. It's entirely in Mongolian. It's shot in Mongolia. It's fantastic. Like, it's really, really cool. I loved showing it in class when I used to get to teach world history. I actually got my department chair to play it in her class, and I feel like that might be one of the more major accomplishments in my entire life.
Kudos.
So, yeah. Yeah, Mongol, The Rise of Genghis Khan is my pick there. It's also, I used to get to show it like right before Thanksgiving every year, and there's a scene where he's explaining to his son the beauty of the Mongolian language, and he's like, I'm going to say this in English, but except for the Mongolian word that I love, he's like, son, this is mach. This is meat, right? And this is amazing, like mach, and just says it like repeatedly through the scene. And so the kids would go home and I would challenge them to be like, all right, when you get to Thanksgiving dinner, be like, mom, pass the mach and just see what she does. And it's on me, like put it on me. Like, it's not your idea, it's my idea. I'll tell you, I'll sign something right now if you want. And I just thought it was amazing. So yeah, I just have really good memories of this movie. And I was excited to see that it was on the list.
I would not have known this. Unless for the fact that I was your neighbor for all those years and I knew you played it during the...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the scenes are, like, the cinematography is...
Oh, it's gorgeous. Outstanding. Yeah. Yeah.
Can we all go to Salemi's and have a double feature of Mongol and Mamma Mia?
Oh.
I would do that.
I mean, it'd be 100%. Fun.
I'll bring it in.
Is there a creative way we could splice the two together and save some time?
We could play ABBA in the background while we're watching Mongol.
I mean,
and I'm thinking we can have Mediterranean cuisine and... Asian.
Oh, like fusion type. Yeah.
It's a fusion situation. Fusion,
I love that.
Yeah.
I hope one of you cooks. That'd be awesome. That'd be that'd be great.
My walk's a little, but I could figure something out.
Yeah.
All right, I'm up. I have Action Thriller Drama, Misunderstood, and Wild Card. I am torn because I really want both of these films, and I'm afraid it won't come back to me. So, with that said, I am going to take Action Thriller Drama, and I'm going to take The Wrestler.
Oh, dang it.
Nice.
I didn't think any of you would take that movie. I love that movie.
It's real good.
That movie makes me cry.
That's what I was going for next for Wild
Card. Dang, okay, so you all have seen this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey Rourke is incredible in that movie, but you picked it. You talk about it.
No, go. you're keyed up.
Well, it's just like, you know, and I think he gets a lot of flack because obviously he draws upon his own life experiences to play that role, because it's basically treading many things that happened to him in his own life. But man, it is heartbreaking watching someone like get so close to like having what he like really wants in his heart, but just being pulled back into the wrestling game over and over and over. And it's like, God, what a tortured human being just all the time. Like, that movie kills me. It's hard to watch that movie.
He's his own enemy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Through the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's like a German word for this, but...
Schadenfreude.
There has to be a German word for this.
Schadenfreude.
You know the feeling you get when you're watching something and you know it's not going to happen, but you're secretly in the back of your mind hoping that they're going to get it right this time?
It's like, please.
Every time I watch The Wrestler, I'm like, he's going to be there for his daughter this time.
Maybe there's
he's
going to
make it. He's really going to do it. And it's just so soul-crushing every time.
Yeah.
Darren Aronofsky.
I was going to say, it's an Aronofsky movie, right? He just writes the most crushing movies ever.
And it was just so good because it was a return to form for Mickey Rourke. He'd been pretty much gone.
So tell me, what else does this Darren Aronofsky guy do?
Pie, Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, I hate that movie.
That's a hard movie to watch, too.
Oh, my God, yes, it is.
Black Swan.
Okay.
Mother with Jennifer Lawrence.
The Whale recently with our boy.
So not a whole lot of Brendan uplifting Fraser. Things.
Fraser.
Yeah.
I didn't realize
he did all those movies, but yeah.
I don't really care for Aronofsky, but his style with the wrestler's story is
perfect.
Excellent. Yeah. Like, he does a lot of follow the character.
Yeah.
And you're kind of walking through that life with the wrestler.
It's like watching a documentary.
Yeah, kind
of. Yeah. And I got to give a shout out to Marissa Tomei. One of the all-time loves of my life.
Sure, yeah.
Always gorgeous, always amazing. All right, Salemi, you are up. You have Misunderstood, Wild Card, and Blockbuster still left.
All right. Well, Wrestler was on my list. I think I was just going to take it for Wild Card because I don't think I have it. It's definitely not a Blockbuster. Oh, what shall I do? What shall I do? I feel good that my Misunderstood and Wild Card aren't going to go anywhere. So with Blockbuster, what I have left on my list.
Come on. Come on.
Do it.
I am going to pick Kung Fu Panda.
Yes!
Nice. Yeah.
Called it.
It is.
Skadoosh.
Skadoosh.
A fun movie.
It's fantastic.
A very fun movie. Was that what you were going to pick,
Arvin?
Did I get it?
Hey, honestly, yes. I was going to pick it too, so don't feel too bad.
It's just a fun. And this, for everyone who's listening, and I know that's like two people, Kung Fu Panda is the origin of Movie Trailer Friday.
Is it really?
Wow. Yes.
Wow.
Because I saw the trailer and thought it was so funny and thought all of my students should watch it often as possible. And I started showing it all the time. And then one day when everyone was in my room for lunch and I said, hey, like somebody hadn't seen it, I'm like, oh, well, you got to watch it. And I popped it up there and then it just slowly went from there. And it happened to be on a Friday and... like, all right, Fridays, we're going to watch Movie Trailer Fridays.
Very funny. Lots of heart in that movie, too.
Yeah, and Jack Black, it's kind of hard for him to screw something up.
He was made to be Poe.
He's like, made to do every character he's ever done.
I know.
Yeah.
He's a very talented individual.
Yeah. He is. He has that talent where it just makes it impossible to think about. Like, oh, who else could that have been?
Yeah. And Dustin Hoffman is his mentor.
Angelina Jolie is
the Tigress, right?
Yeah.
Is Seth Rogen one of the voices too?
Yeah, he's the monkey, isn't he?
Is he the monkey?
No, the monkey's Jackie Chan, isn't it? Jackie Chan.
So is he the mantis? Anyway, I'm pretty sure Seth Rogen. What's weird? Well, actually, I'll bring it around later on about Seth Rogen.
Okay.
There's a through line here that he's going to tie it all together.
All right, Littell, comedy, Misunderstood, Wild Card. What do we got?
Okay, my comedy, I'm going to go Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Great, great, great movie. One of my favorite rom-coms probably of all time. I think Jason Segel is super funny in that movie. And so is Kristen Bell and, Russell Brand?
Mm-hmm.
God, yeah. He steals every scene he's in, too. Like, I love how oblivious he is to how much damage he's doing the whole time. It's just like, yeah, no, this is just the life I live. It's, like, so insane. There is an unforgettable scene in that movie that is hard to talk about out here, but, like, there is a competition of sorts at night between the two couples, and that's about all I'll say, and that makes me laugh real hard every time. Also, the songs that he comes up with as her
man.
Fantastic.
Yeah. For the Dracula Muppet. I mean, that is clever. Very, very clever and very, very funny.
Oh, yeah. Lots of good quotes from that movie, too.
The Hawaiian bartender.
Yeah.
How he can name all the fish.
It's so silly. But yeah, I think it's so rewatchable. Like, it's such easy to watch movie, and I don't know. That's about as all as I can say about it. What do you guys feel about Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
I love it too.
Absolutely love it. And it's cool when a comedy, I don't want to say takes itself seriously, but puts in the effort. I think it's so rewatchable because it's a gorgeous movie.
Yeah.
Obviously it's tropical, but it didn't have to be filmed that way, but the way it's filmed with the color and the lighting that they use, I mean, Mila Kunis is literally glowing throughout the movie.
Yeah. She looks gorgeous. Gorgeous in that movie.
So funny, so good.
And this is the one that has like the sideline sequel, Get Him to the Greek, right? Is that the one? Am I thinking the right thing?
Is that related
thing?
To that?
Yeah.
It's Russell Brand's character.
Oh, really?
Aldous Snow. And Jonah Hill plays a different character in Get Him to the Greek.
Right.
Because he's like the server waiter guy. Yeah.
But it's the same
But like, it's the same universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never realized that.
Yeah.
Huh.
All right. Misunderstood and wild card. What do you got?
Oh, woo. God.
Oh, God.
What?
This is where it gets intense.
What? Why is it intense? Do you want me to take a look at your list real quick and make sure?
Nah, that's
okay. Because I will.
Okay. I'm just going to get my wild card here. I'm going to pick up Cloverfield.
Ooh.
I think the original Cloverfield is an exceptional thriller movie. I think the use of the found footage, especially when this movie came out, I remember the hype behind the trailer for this movie was crazy. Like, because they had just released the trailer and it was started off pretty small, but over the course of like a week or two, everybody wanted to know what this movie was about.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So going into the theater, really, you didn't know. Like, you didn't know what was going on. Like, was this an invasion movie? Was it a monster movie? Like, what was going on?
Yeah.
And I think it executed it really well. Yeah. I like the stories with all the characters and kind of how they develop throughout the movie is very good. And, I like the monster in the movie too. I think. Did you guys see 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Yeah.
Oh man, I like that one better. I do too.
I do like that movie better than the original. But I just wanted to say that I think the universe for these films is really good. Like,
yeah.
I like what it's built and kind of how it has grown and spawned more. So yeah, what do you guys think? What about Cloverfield?
I think my fault. I was about to start talking about 10 Cloverfield Lane.
John Goodman is in it's so good. Just about to, in that movie.
I apologize.
Like, claustrophobically good.
I gotta reset my brain, sorry.
But with Cloverfield, I think it's one of those J.J. Abrams mystery box things, right? Like, and this is the one I think he does the best at because, like, from the very beginning, like, the marketing is very viral.
Oh, yeah.
It was, like, the website, like, that you could go in and, like, punch codes in and
get different the whole stuff. Online element, too.
Yeah, and, like, they released a little, like, snippets at a time. Like, here's a five-second clip of what could be the monster, but maybe it's not. And it turned out that was one of the, like, egg things down in the subway. And it's like, oh, that's not the monster. Okay, interesting. Like, all of that stuff, I thought they did a really good job of building up that hype to it. So it felt like an event. And I feel like that made it kind of propulsive to go and see that in a theater, and it's one of those things you don't get as much now.
Yeah, I don't even know if you could replicate that now. And I'm not saying it's like in a perfect movie or anything, but
no,
like the rollout definitely helped with how like my lasting memory of that movie and my excitement in going to see it in movie theaters. So
yeah, they did a good job of it.
That and Blair Witch Project.
Yeah,
those
that's
two movies.
The other, yeah,
the way that they introduced it and how they promoted it is very unique, very showmanship-like.
Well, it's just the beginning era of the internet, too. You're still in, like, the infancy of people being online. So it's like, oh, what is this? What am I even looking at? Is this real? There's no way.
Well, with that one, obviously not so much, but I remember Blair Witch Project people thinking it was real. Like, this was lost footage and students coming in saying, have you seen this? And I'm like, okay, it is cool, but you know that's not
it's not actually real found footage though, right?
Yeah, I mean it's not a lost documentary.
Right.
But you know, that's great. It was great marketing. Great marketing.
All right, Salemi, misunderstood and wild card. What are we going with next?
I'm going with my misunderstood in connection with rock and roller. I'm going for misunderstood the rocker with Rainn Wilson.
Oh wow.
40%, and I was absolutely shocked that it was 40%.
It's a fun movie.
It's really good.
It is.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's Emma Stone is in it as I don't know how early in her career she's in the movie, but yeah, no, I think it's hilarious. And you're pulling for Rain. You feel bad for him. Plus, I love hard rock, heavy metal, so there's that angle.
Yeah.
They kind of make it sort of a Metallica-esque thing where they kicked him out right before they hit it big.
Josh Gad's in that movie too, right?
Yeah. And that's it. That's his nephew.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's awesome in it.
He's great in everything he does.
That movie, it's just extremely funny. And when it goes viral, him drumming as he's naked, the naked drummer.
Who's the lead
girl? He's pouring
down
sweat in the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
Yeah.
She's the bassist, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, the one sort of weak link of the band is that emo lead singer type dude that they.
Teddy,
he was fine. I just.
And he was in an actual band. Like, he's a singer,
oh, really?
Not an actor.
Well, that explains why he was the front man.
It's Christina.
To be honest
Applegate
with you, maybe? I could not. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm remembering.
Is she Josh Gad's mom?
No, yeah. No. She's the lead singer's mom. That's she's right. got to give that's him right. permission that's to go right. on that's tour. Right.
Is it Will Arnett? Is like the slimy agent guy?
Yes.
Is that Will Arnett?
He's so good, man.
Okay.
Misunderstood and Wild Card. And I'm glad it made it this far. I'm going to take Wild Card and I am going with Burn After Reading, Coen Brothers.
I am surprised that's lasted as long as it has.
One of the lesser known, I guess, or lesser. Received of the Coen Brothers. It's only an hour and a half. It's like an hour and 36 minutes, I think. So a real quick story, but it's got everything you want. It's got goofy dialogue. Frances McDormand is just at the height awesome. Of her powers. She's so good. J.K. Simmons in his cameo role is really good. George Clooney.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt is so funny as the workout guy. John Malkovich. I mean,
I love John Malkovich.
Everything about this movie is funny, and this is definitely probably of this entire year. I think for me, this is the most rewatchable movie. I love it so much.
I forgot that Clooney and Pitt did this movie together. They've been in quite a few movies together.
They're
now
best buds.
Are they like for real in real life?
Yeah,
friends. Okay, yeah, really good movie. And it is before the Coen Brothers kind of exploded and became the Coen Brothers, isn't it? Like, was there something that they hit on before this?
The year before was No Country for Old Men.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know chronologically how that fits.
And I would say the other one that was well known because of the soundtrack was in 2000, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah.
And Raising Arizona was big in the late 80s.
Also with good old Clooney.
I'm sorry, listeners. I didn't know what I was talking about.
immediately
the Coen Brothers were established by the time this rolled out. But I never know the chronological order of any of these things.
Yeah, no,
so it all blends all together to me.
Arvin, you're up. Your last two picks, Blockbuster, which I think this is the first time Blockbuster has been last. And Wild Card.
I made a record. and I'm going to take it last too, since, you know, ooh, I'm really going to make it a record.
Sure.
And then you guys are going to hear what I pick, and it's going to be a fun conversation. So for Wild Card, I'm going to go with a Swedish movie, Let the Right One In.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That movie's so good.
Let the Right One In.
Let the Right One In. The original.
The vampire movie?
Yeah.
The vampire movie.
Dude, that movie's so disturbing.
Oh, my God.
I didn't realize that was on the list.
It's not.
What do you mean it's not?
Oh, it's not. It's not on the list. It came out in 2008, but it's not on the list.
That's true. It did come out in 2008.
Oh, it's got to make the top 200 of the box office or it's going to get missed.
Since when? Oh, okay, cool.
That's why I get the list.
I thought we were arguing about that.
That's okay, right.
Great.
That's right.
No, that's fine.
It's a great for, and that is like way, yeah, that's a low key movie too. I don't know how many people have actually watched it. It is amazing.
And it's been remade like twice now.
I'm going to say a couple times.
Yeah. Like there's an American version. What's the American version called?
I think the first one is also called Let the Right One In.
Did they do
I don't
it?
Know
and then
the
they
new
did,
one
that's
is.
A series too. Like they did like a, I think it's a mini series.
Yeah.
But I haven't actually watched it, but it came out in 2022.
Have you seen this?
I haven't. No.
It's a Dracula. It's a vampire movie, but it's not a vampire movie.
It is dark, dark.
Yeah. It's kind of similar to like Abigail, I think, is the ballerina movie, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a similar premise. It's like a child vampire and
befriends a human.
Yeah, befriends like this 12-year-old kid who gets bullied all the time and then basically decides that he wants some revenge.
Was it overshadowed by Twilight? the other vampire.
I think a lot of things were overshadowed by Twilight stupidly that year. We've not picked it yet, but yeah, I just really liked it. I don't even remember exactly how I ended up finding it, but I think it was maybe the next year. You know, tracked it down on a DVD somewhere and watched it. And holy crap! Like, oh, this is amazing. And yeah, and I don't usually get in for like a horror movie kind of situation either.
Same.
And this is,
but it's
this
so
is
well
really
done.
Good. I mean,
but it's also not a movie. Like when I watched it, I assumed like a good portion of the movie was just going to be her getting retribution in different scenes for the people who bully her, and that's not really the majority of the movie is the relationship they build, and then
also
she eventually decides, all right,
Well, then the twist reveal too.
I can use this power for good.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
This is way worse now.
Like, yeah, it's you. I think you would find it very.
It's a powerful movie.
It's definitely not jump scare.
Oh, unforgettable movie.
But it's cool. It's an interesting film.
I want to say I think I saw it when I looked.
We're gonna have a film festival at some point at Salini's house, aren't we?
All genres.
Flick Chart, the site that has like the 500 whatever.
Yeah.
I want to say I think I saw the title.
It was on there.
Didn't know it.
It was on there, yeah. And that's what cued me into it because I was like, oh, okay. And then I looked up the release date and I was like, okay, thanks, July.
It's not that long either. But it's under 2 hours. Like, it's very cool. Watchable.
It's a quick watch and, you know, the downside is it's very Swedish. So,
that's true.
You're going to be reading some. Oh, my God. I've picked two subtitled movies, too.
I know this is that too.
This is amazing.
It's like the Cannes Film Festival of movies.
I think that speaks to the quality of movie.
I know your proclivity about not having to read your movies, so I'm very sorry about that.
I try not to have to read while I'm watching.
Right. I know.
All right. Blockbuster last.
All right.
I don't know if this will ever happen again. This is exciting.
I hope it doesn't because I feel like I've screwed up by taking the Salimi strategy and just doing Misunderstood so early so that I could get Step Brothers. So here's how that's come back to bite me, dear listeners. I'm about to do something that I said to myself I would never do in this podcast.
No way.
And I'm going to pick Indiana Jones.
No!
Whoa!
And the Kingdom of the Crystal
Skull. Sorry.
Yo, send this to Linda right now.
Yep. The way I messed up was I really wanted to take Slumdog Millionaire, except for that I took Wall-E as my Oscar pick and didn't take it as my blockbuster, and that's how I messed up.
Hancock is still up there, man.
I know. And I actually put that on my Misunderstood list, too. So, but to punish myself and... and also to make my brother listen to something where I talk about Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which he still does not acknowledge as a movie that exists. I'm going to take it here. I don't actually have anything to say about it. I was going to say,
do you actually like it?
No, not
okay.
really.
Who likes that movie?
I feel like I need to watch it again because, I don't know, Flaming Ants and Shia LaBeouf, but...
Right.
It's so stupid.
I honestly thought you were going to pick Quantum of Solace at this point.
Oh, he doesn't like that.
No.
He's not going to punish himself.
No. I still had to pick something that was on my list, but thanks to someone taking Kung Fu Panda, here we are.
Get smart.
Nicholas R. Salimi.
You know what's funny is I actually think I have another one on my list.
Broke
God, why? Oh, why? Yeah.
The other blockbuster on my list was Hancock that I was thinking about. But Kung Fu Panda.
I should have put it on my list there. I think it's fine. I couldn't make an argument for it. And legitimately, I'm like, you know what? This is what I get for not like doing my research. This is my slap on my hand.
There you go.
I literally just slapped myself, and here we are. So, Indiana Jones.
I genuinely enjoyed Quantum of Solace, though.
Really?
Okay. As a Bond film, I mean,
all right, yeah.
Casino Royale was so good.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
There's going to be a drop off. And yeah, it's not as good as Casino Royale or Skyfall, but it's a Bond flick.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I can see how you got there. I mean, I don't know. It stuck with me how much I didn't like it, I guess.
Here's a question.
Really bad villain.
Quantum of Solace or Spectre?
Quantum of Solace is better.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really hated Spectre.
Spectre's not great. And
good opening sequence.
Oh, the opening is crazy.
I love the Mexico, but man, it's really bad.
It's just a boring movie.
It is.
All right.
Shouldn't be. Sorry.
Misunderstood, my last pick, and I am going to go with...
The Love Guru?
No.
It is Misunderstood, though.
I was going back and forth on taking this, but I think... I feel better about it. I actually genuinely like this really bad movie, and it's Untraceable. Anybody seen Untraceable?
Oh, yeah. No. Uh-huh.
I don't think
what
I have.
Is that movie?
Diane Lane is a mom, and she works for, like, basically the FBI or the CIA.
Okay.
And all these people are getting killed on a website, and the only way it kills the person on film is by viewership. So if nobody watched
it,
the person wouldn't die.
I have seen that. Mm-hmm. I've seen part of it.
It's got
I don't
Colin
know
Hanks in it, Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
It's
And they're trying to convince people not to watch. Because
they're like, don't watch. You're going to kill these people.
And then drives it right up.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So not good. The ending is is laughably bad. But I don't care. I love that movie. And I'm super pumped that I got it.
Is it just like the subject matter is enough to carry it for you? Because I feel that way about... Have you guys seen the movie Skeleton Key?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because like... I'm not saying it's the best acted movie ever, but just the premise alone is so cool that like, oh, I like this movie.
Yeah.
It's just interesting.
Well, I've found it interesting, and then at the end when it all plays out,
the twist is great.
Damn you. Yeah.
I will say there's a difference too in plot twists where the big reveal is somebody that you've known the entire time, like the Bone Collector, which we didn't talk about in the 99 draft.
Yeah.
Or the big reveal where it's somebody that hasn't been shown yet. And it's like, here's the actual person who's behind all this. And you're like, oh, man. And the way they tie it all together, how he picked the people, what happened to him, the traumatic experience with him and his dad. I don't know. There's just something really watchable about that movie.
Yeah, I've seen it.
That's fine.
I got into my head, I would not have been able to piece that together. That was untraceable.
So, Lemmy, wild card. What do you got?
All right, wild card. I am going to pick a film that I saw at the movie theater with my boys that I find fun. And it also has Seth Rogen, and he plays a bird in the movie. Spiderwick. Chronicles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because there was a book series first.
He eats the goblins.
Yeah.
And yeah. Spiderwick Chronicles. It's just Crescenzio watched that movie on his knees, looking between two seats, just that little narrow gap because he was enthralled and scared at the same time. Like he thought it was a fun movie.
Those kids with the masks on their face, they're creepy.
He was a little scared and also could not stop watching. And about halfway through, I realized that he was no longer in his seat, but instead was sitting on the floor on his knees, looking between the two seats. But yeah, it's fun. It's a neat little family story. Really good visuals as far as the fantasy worlds that they create. And very creative, very imaginative.
Did you ever read any of the books?
I did not.
Okay.
No, and none of my kids did either after that.
They're very quick. They're only like 100 pages each, and there's tons of drawings in them. So.
Yeah, the dad is the man who disappears. I can't think of what the actor's name is, but he is someone that I enjoy. He's in a bunch of movies. So, sorry, I can't think of the guy's name off the top of my head.
It's okay.
Do you want to finalize this pick? Because you know Bolt is still on the board.
I do. And
there's a lot of picks that are
Bolt,
still there, I'm surprised by.
Was in that genre of we saw a lot of animated films, and it was not something we necessarily enjoyed. It was all right. I think we liked the hamster, the gerbil, far more than the rest
villain?
Of it. No.
I thought he ended up being the villain in that movie.
No, that's a different one.
Is that the guy?
Yeah, that's the guy.
The other
David
Strathairn.
Strathairn, yeah. He's in obviously a lot of movies.
He's Ira Lowenstein in The League of Their Own.
Oh, yeah.
All right, nice. Littell, last pick of the afternoon, Misunderstood.
Ooh,
let's hear your rotten movie.
I mean, I don't think I'm going to go anything crazy here. I'm actually just going to pick up Hancock.
Oh, there you go.
That can't be misunderstood.
It is.
Oh, super.
42%.
What?
42%.
That's insane.
That's why I said it was on my list. Yeah, I was surprised by that. But yeah, 42%, 59% audience score.
I didn't even bother to look that up. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
I just didn't even bother to look that up on Rotten Tomatoes. I assumed it had to be at least 60.
It had a really bad reputation at the time. I mean, like, critics did not like it at all. Like, it made a lot of money. As we can see, right? It's fourth on the year, but it had a terrible reputation, and critics just killed it.
Yeah. I mean, I love
like
the
even the ones that were like, liked it, were like, there are a lot of structural problems and blah. The second act is terrible, you know, that kind of stuff.
I thought it was pretty cool.
I thought it was good.
A different spin on the whole idea.
Yeah. I was just like, what if Superman was a dick, you know? I like didn't care that much.
Well, I'm pretty sure that whole series Bad Boys, is that what it's called? Is basically the idea of Hancock. Here's superheroes who aren't actually nice people.
Yeah.
So
I honestly thought the little love connection angle was unique and cool. I didn't mind it too much. I'm not saying
it was
perfectly
together. They're, it's, yeah.
I wonder if it had come out in a different year, because you got a superhero movie coming out with Iron Man and The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Had you done your, I don't want to say satire, but your twist, you know, upending what a superhero flick is, I feel like it would have done much better in like 09.
Yeah, that's the thing is, I if it had like actually deconstructed just a superhero hero tale in general, I think that would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Plus, some of the CGI in that movie is really cool. Like him tearing up through the city is kind of bad.
Such a likable cast, man. Charlize Theron's awesome. Oh, Jason Bateman is the best always.
Oh, he's great. Yeah.
And Will Smith is obviously your megastar. So, did you pick a seventh category for us on what we need to draft?
He lost his homework.
So no.
I thought he had texted something, but
there you go. Great.
All right. Well done, nice. Boys. Ticket Studs out. Woot.
We love you.
10th period.